when once in a while you say a sentence to God. Spontaneous prayer. In every circumstances, like before you get into your car, when you're going somewhere, you just say out loud to God in prayer. Say, Father God, we thank you for a good journey. And that's all. It doesn't have to be long prayer. It's just spontaneous prayer that is covered throughout your day. Looking at the book of Nehemiah, he's an expert at spontaneous prayer. Every time he writes different things, and then he'll make a cry unto God. Like in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verse 11. What he's talking about, he's praying to God, Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. And then he was used by God to build a wall. And in the midst of all his busyness in building the wall, once in a while in his writing, in like chapter 4, verse 3, Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. So he was being criticized and mocked. And then suddenly you have a prayer in verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads. Give them a surrender, as a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Then verse 6, so we build a wall. See, it's just a short prayer. When his enemy came, he says, O God, hear all this and help us. And constantly throughout the book of Nehemiah, you find this spontaneous prayer, just one sentence, two sentence prayer that he shoots to God. Little arrow prayers that he shoots to God throughout everything that he does. Remember, Nehemiah is a governor. He's a busy man. He's not really full time. He's a busy person governing the people. Got these things organized, that things organized. And so in his life, he practiced a lot of spontaneous prayer, that every time he gets circumstances, he cried to God. Chapter 5, verse 19. Well, he did all those difficult things. He says, remember me, my God, for good according to all that I have done. So there are many more other little arrow prayers that he shoot unto God. Then in chapter 6, verse 14. My God, remember. And so that's a skill to learn in our daily life. And that whatever you do, whatever job you're doing, if you're going somewhere, doing something, and I know most of the time, many of us practice unceasing prayer as much as we can. In our heart, in our mind, we're surrendering to God. But it would be good to shoot up an arrow prayer to God. And saying, Oh Lord, help us in this thing. If you're doing a project, Oh Lord, guide us in this. Give us wisdom. And if you're on way to the supermarket, Oh God, help me today to get all the things that I need to for my family. Lead me to all the nice price and discounts. Whatever, right? Or you're on your way to the Olympic Games and you're not sure the way. Oh Lord, guide me. Show me the best road to take and give me a good parking space, right? So shoot one prayer to the Lord out loud. So if we cover our lives throughout and shoot little arrow prayers over 24 hours, you'll find that your communion with God does increase. And so the spontaneous prayers involve shooting out little arrow prayers to God throughout the day. Slightly different. And then there is the area of fasting and prayer. Now, fasting and prayer involves many times spiritual warfare as well as flesh warfare. See, when we fast, we do not change God. God remains the same in His ability, in all that He is. But fasting changes us. And by changing us, it changes the amount of spiritual energy that you're releasing from your life, thus affecting Satan. It doesn't change your God at all, but it changes you. And if you look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, it says that God led Jesus into the wilderness in chapter 4 verse 1 and verse 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now it never say that God led Jesus into the wilderness to fast. It says he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. Now where did it say he was led there to fast? Now we know that he did fast, a supernatural fast. And I'm sure in a sense he was led by God to fast. but it's never directly mentioned. Why is that so? It's because the principle of fasting is supposed to have understood by Jesus that when you want to increase your intensity, you fast. In the natural world, people who don't know the Lord sometimes go on a protest fast or they fast over certain things. Mahatma Gandhi fasted. And some of the other great, wonderful human beings who have been used to change the society have gone to fast before. And if you ever gone on a fast, this is what happens to you in a natural, not talking about God yet. When a person desires what he desires more than food, some extra force and energy seems to be released to their life to achieve the goals. When Mahatma Gandhi went through the fast, or Nelson Mandela, you know, go to a period without food just to see the area, some of them do it not because they were trying to seek God, but it's because they were determined that I would rather have that than to eat or to live. And what happens is at the end of the fast period, whatever goals that they have become more cemented into their makeup and being. They live for that. You know how many of us have goals and dreams but we don't have enough energy to fulfill them? When you fast and pray over your goals and dreams, your goals and dreams become a part of your second nature. You live for that. Because you have you have put down every desire, especially desire for food, for that goal. It eats into you during the period of your fast and remains a part of you. That is why fasting changes you. A person who could be about 70% motivated over whatever cause, when he is fasted through, becomes 150% motivated for that cause. Especially if he fasted for that cause. Something changed in that person. There's a greater strength, greater determination. And that is in the natural. When you bring that into the spiritual realm, how much more when Jesus says, all things are possible to those who believe. In Mark 9 verse 23. Now a lot of times, our belief is too much filled with doubts. We believe, but within an hour we doubt. Why don't we just believe without doubt? It's because doubt is an energy produced by yourself. I mean, how would you like to be running and let's say your left leg wants to go forward but your right leg is pulling you back. So you go, and your right leg pulls, hey, come on. Hey, your whole life you'll be on one spot. You can't have any part of your body pulling you back. Doubts and a lot of little things, side things, distractions and all those like the seed that fall on the pavement or on the stony ground. All these distractions around you suck your energy for what is to bring you forward. And fasting and prayer helps to align all the energy within you, everything within you towards one goal. That's why it's tough to go through, but once you go through, it does something to you. Fasting and prayer. And that's why when Jesus was facing Satan in a temptation, whenever the battle is most fierce, fast. If the struggles in your life are at the most fierce point, fast. Because that's when you need everything within you, every fiber of your being. It's just like those people running the 100 meters. You could see, and I remember the commentator was saying, look at his muscles on his neck. He's using every muscle you can to strain, to break that 10 second barrier. Ooh, the muscles. And you could see the neck muscles moving. What were the neck muscles doing? It was not on the ground. The neck muscles were straining to get all the energy force to propel the person forward in the fastest time. And so at your greatest struggle, your greatest need, I recommend fasting. Could be any type of fast, right? Liquid fast, you know, veggie fast or fruit fast, whatever. Don't have to jump into a complete fast. but it does something to you. So there's fasting and prayer, which is a different realm. If you remember Jesus saying to the disciples, at one point when they could not cast out demons, Jesus said to them, this type cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting. It doesn't really change God, but what it does is that Jesus has already given them the authority. You notice that incident took place in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17 is where they couldn't cast out the demon from the boy. That's when Jesus says in verse 21, Matthew 17, 21, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. But in Matthew 10, verse 1, he already has given them the authority over all demons and over all diseases. So that was in Matthew 10, verse 1. Here's Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. So what's happening? God has given them something within them, an authority and an anointing, but it's not coming forth. So Jesus recommended fasting. Because fasting changes us and everything within us is re-energized. So we see all the different types of prayer that are involved. So how do we harmonize them as a conclusion? There are many other types of prayer, but we have given some samples enough for us to realize that we need to learn how to have all these prayers in a foundation. How do we know? In Ephesians 6 verse 18 it says, pray with all kinds of prayer. We have not touched on the prayer of intercession, which is praying for others, or prayer of supplication, which is bringing forth a need and a request to God. But each has its place. What are the principles that involve to harmonize each situation? Right. Number one, generally, the first prayer you must always pray is the prayer of dedication. If you don't get the prayer of dedication correct, everything else will not work. See, we learn all these principles here and there, but we need to now sort them in order. Because unless you have prayed a prayer of dedication and given yourself to God and surrendered to God, everything else is blocked. Your prayer of faith will not fully work, nor will all your intercession for others. The more surrendered your life is, the more powerful the other prayers will come through. So first and foremost, the prayer of dedication must come forth. That's number one. Secondly, unceasing prayer and going together with spontaneous prayer must be a skill that is learned outside of your devotional life. That means there are times that you have a solid prayer with God, but outside of your devotional life, practicing unceasing and spontaneous prayer is an important key to make your Christian life full. So that you realize God's presence not just in a church or in your private devotional life, but outside where the people are. Outside where it's hard to feel God's presence. Surrounded by all the things of the world and all the distractions around. Outside is where we need to have spontaneous prayer and unceasing prayer. And the stronger that is in your life, it will have a feedback loop into your personal life, where even your personal life and prayer becomes stronger. Thirdly, use at crisis point, use fasting and practice fasting to increase all the rest of your prayer. That means you can add fasting to all the different types of prayer where a crisis point comes. And even when, it's a recommendation, there are no crisis points, it is good to fast as a practice to seek God. In other words, if you have one day a week when you set aside to seek God, or even half a day a week, when you just fast during that time, As a way of surrender to God, which is what they did in Acts 13 verse 1 and 2. They fasted, not because there was a crisis, but because they were seeking God and ministering to God. And so number 3, we recommend, as part of a foundational principle, is if you fast regularly once a week, then you may never need to fast 40 days and 40 nights in a crisis, because you have done your continual part of your seeking God. And so that has to be incorporated into the Christian life as one of the foundational principles. Usually I recommend at least once a week, set aside some time to seek God. To seek God. And pray and fast during that time. And then when you've got all those things correct, you can pray the prayer of faith. But the prayer of faith must be used in an area where God has promised it, and where the free will of someone else is not involved. Because you can't claim something over somebody's life where they have a free choice. But you can pray the prayer of faith over areas where the free choice involves only you, and you have made the choice. But when it involves the choice of others, the prayer of faith involving the free will of others, then what you need is constant prayer or prevailing prayer, which is a type of prayer that's mentioned in James chapter 5. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. The word is prevails much. That is, your righteousness will cover for them. And because you walk with God, you are extending your covering to cover them. That it makes it easier for them to come to God. It makes it easier for them to receive whatever you have from God. And so basically, see all these forms of prayer as areas like breathing. You need to have a healthy body. Your body needs to exert itself, regular exercise every week. And so when you exercise every week and your body has exerted itself, then the times when your body is just sitting doing work, it feels better. You feel more fresh. But if all the time you never got out and exercise, then you notice that your body just feels like it just needs some release. And the same way, our recommendation is, as a foundational principle on prayer, learn how to move in all these prayers at different times, different season. And the key word is the word season. Season. Sometimes, for some reason, all you seem to be praying is one type of prayer. It could be your before your spiritual Olympics, where something God wants you to do, and that's a phase God wants you to go through. But remember, if in your Christian life all you know is one type of prayer, you have missed it. You need to learn to pray all the different prayers and ask God to teach you, and your Christian life will be rich and rich in God and balanced. You will have a healthy spirit man, because your spirit man has learned how to swim. Your spirit man, and breathe in that way while swimming. Your spirit man has learned how to be still and know that He is God. Your spirit man has learned to run the spiritual Olympics. Your spirit man learned all these prayers. So foundational Christian life involves all these areas, and the more you do it, finally, it becomes second nature to you. You don't have to think, now what kind of prayer shall I do? You know, and you could be like Peter. He's walking on water and he's drowning. You know, he's sinking because he has doubts. And then imagine if he's wondering, now let me see. Should I pray unceasing prayer now? Should I pray constant prayer? Should I? And then by the time he finished deciding, he's right drowned inside. And so all he did is say, Jesus! Right? And that's it. With all these different types of prayer, don't make it so complicated. Go with the flow. Your spirit man within you. You see, none of us have to teach ourselves how to breathe, in the sense when you're running, you're automatically you're breathing more. You're breathing more. All you have to do is know what is wrong and the wrong methods of breathing, and then avoid them, and the rest just comes through. So if you avoid the wrong methods and the wrong things, usually your spirit man will find the right way to flow. What kind of prayer are you praying for different seasons, different circumstances? Ask the Holy Spirit today. Maybe that's why we're not getting some of the answers we need to. Let's pray.